In mid-September, denizens of the craft world flocked like migrating swallows to the annual Making In seminar at the Joseph Walsh Studios in Riverstick, County Cork. Among them this autumn, sculptor, blacksmith and McCarthy fellow Tom Joyce, who winged it all the way from New Mexico. He spoke to Culturefile's Eleanor Flegg about the deep relationship between iron, fire, the cosmos and the human condition.
Any old iron, any old iron, any old iron. You look at me, talk about a tree. You look never put it down me to your feet.
There was a moment when I was in my late teens where I had been forging already for half a dozen years, having started when I was 14. I started reading about the science of iron, and I remember my grandfather, you know, speaking about having this iron poor blood that so many of us had heard other elders speak about in the 1950s and 60s when I was growing up. And so I did a bit of research about iron in our blood and why it's there and how it helps oxygenate our system. And what I learned is that there was a symbiotic relationship between iron particles in the sea, in ancient seas, and the very first life form that came into being some 2.5 billion years ago during the Archean era. And the cyanobacteria, what we know as blue-green algae that still exists and provides oxygen in our oceans, fed on iron sulfide in the sea and produced oxygen as a byproduct, so that all oxygen-breathing life forms owe their existence to this very first symbiotic relationship between these two elements. 15 years ago, I was given an opportunity to enter into the industrial blacksmithing world to create sculptures on a monumental scale, much larger than I could produce in my own studio in Santa Fe. And this environment where industrial smiths are forging away in large measure behind the scenes, furtively making objects for manufacturing purposes that extract mineral resources, that take us into space, that create energy through the hydroelectric dam turbine shafts that they'll be forging. The company I have been producing this work in allows me to come into that environment and work as if I'm in my own studio. The way that I produce my work is to think about these large objects I'm seeing made in this industrial environment as the parents now out in the world doing a job, and I'm retrieving the offspring. What is cut from either end of these massive forgings, and sometimes what I'm working with may be 1,000 pounds, could be 10,000 pounds, but the point is that it's still genetically connected. If there was such a thing as a ferrous DNA, it is still connected to the parent now churning away. Instead of using a hammer, the equipment are massive hydraulic presses, and these pneumatic machines can be 4 or 5 stories tall. The pieces I'm working with move under intense pressure within the dies of the hydraulic presses, much like clay would move in the hands of a maker. When iron is heated to 2600 degrees, it can be manipulated much like clay. And it's that structural realignment of the molecules, the iron atoms in the material that I'm interested in. Often I'll work with stainless steel, heating it and cooling it hundreds and hundreds of times to expose the grain structure that is this dendritic pattern that develops when iron is first made in an ingot mold, being poured in a liquid state, allowed to cool very slowly. The grain develops and forms an elongation that is further changed when the forging processes realign those very same molecules into drawing the material out in different directions. What I'm interested in is the the uniqueness of each one of these alloys that, when exposed through this erosive process of heating and cooling, expanding and contracting, the result is something as unique as the human fingerprint. While I was researching the science of iron in our body and iron in our earth, I also was researching anthropological studies in Africa that imparted stories of the importance of iron being considered blood of the earth. Blood of the earth in that it was a procreative process that brought bloomery iron through a smelter's furnace, furnaces in the shape of female torsos called gynecomorphic furnaces with breasts, womb, birth canal. The smelters were considered midwives in essence, and the bloom was considered a fetus that would form from the iron ore being melted into a sponge-like mass that then could be further refined by blacksmiths once it was birthed from the earthen furnace. Everything that a blacksmith forges is considered an offspring in certain communities where the gynecomorphic furnaces are used. So the hammer was considered a father, the anvil was considered a mother, and everything that was forged between these two surfaces were offspring. And just like parents, we raise our children in hopes that they will be able to navigate the world in a beneficial way, maybe provide something important within their own communities. We can only hope for the best in the raising of our children. And in the same way that a blacksmith would produce a farming tool or some kind of object that has both a dual purpose, we all know through times of conflict that a farming hoe can be raised against your neighbor as well in a violent manner. And so the blacksmiths never took for granted the fact that everything that they make has the potential for a negative or positive effect, in much the same way that my work in the industrial forge, where I recognize the dual possibilities of iron in the hands of makers, that for all time, and I imagine for all time in the unforeseeable future, will also result in this delicate balance of iron in the hands of humans.
Oh, mate, I've been spun to.
Tom Joyce there was talking to Eleanor Flegg, and you heard excerpts from Metalworking Soundscape 2017, recorded in the Tom Joyce studio with sound engineers William Ogilvie and Peter Ogilvie.